Let's go to Psalm 46, would you please? Go to Psalm 46, and you know where it is in your Old Testament. The book of Psalms. Psalm 46. The Psalms are Israel's songbook, if you will. And the Psalms, 150 of them in our Bible, are broken into different sections, and they were compiled over generations. Many were written by David. Some you'll see at the top of your Psalms written by the sons of Korah, who were given the choir responsibilities in the tabernacle. Some were anonymous. Some were compiled in Solomon's day. And as you read through your Bible, Psalm 48, or 45 rather, through 48, Psalm 45 through 48 are companion pieces. And as we take a look, and I've talked a couple of weeks ago about moving into teaching on spiritual warfare, as we take a look at spiritual warfare, we need to understand what Pastor Carl taught me ages and ages ago. As Christians and as believers, we need to wage warfare from a place of victory, not desperately trying to get to a place of victory. Now, come on. Hang in here with me. This is an important point and foundational. We wage warfare with the devil and send him fleeing, and we wage warfare and pray victorious prayers from a place of victory, not desperately trying to get to a place of victory. How many know that in Jesus you are victorious? Overcoming, conquering kings. And the Bible says in the New Testament, King of kings and Lord of lords, that's him. But we are kings and what? Priests to our God. We rule and reign in life through him. So we don't have to just have a desperate hope so in the Lord. But when we cooperate with our Father God, who we've been singing about all morning, we wage warfare with him. How many, when you were a kid, ever played "My Dad's Bigger Than Your Dad"? Sometimes it wasn't play. Somebody come along and give you a challenge, and what did you say to him? "Well, my dad's what? Say it with me. Bigger than your dad." So when the devil comes around snarling and snapping and yelling and cajoling and trying to put you down, what you need to remember is a great big King of kings and Lord of lords is standing right there by your side with you. And all you have to do is tuck in and say, "Hey, get out of here, pal. My dad's bigger than you." Come on, say it with me. My dad's bigger than you. He's got the victory. Jesus provided it. But we need to realize it. Just like Israel sometimes had enemies in their land they had to learn to overcome, so too, if we're honest together this morning, we have some trouble at times in our life. We have temptations in our life. We have issues in our lives over which we need to get some victory, and we need to live in victory. Anybody in this room could use walking in a little more victory in your life. Sometimes that person that pushes your button, you say, God, help me. That person just pushes all my buttons. Why don't you take them away? And God says, honey, I'll keep them there until they no longer are effective at pushing your buttons. The Lord looks at us and goes, sweetheart, I'm looking for you not to have any buttons to push. Okay, all right. I got to keep growing. So let's take a look at a real position of victory. And I'm going to break Psalm 46 right down into sections. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11, beginning at verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. Now, evidently, the Hebrew word Alamoth means with virgins. And what that is speaking of in the Hebrew Bible is speaking of maidens' voices. These were the songs that they sang. The soprano voices or the alto voices, the maidens' voices. And this was a song of victory and deliverance. And it reminds us of another great song of deliverance that took place after they crossed the Red Sea. Remember? Who led in that song of deliverance after they got across the Red Sea? Remember? Who did? Yeah, and she pulled out a tambourine, she started bopping the tambourine, and everybody's dancing on the beach and rejoicing, because God just gave a fantastic victory to Israel who'd been in captivity for 430 years. Anybody in this room ever had trouble feeling like you were in captivity and needed some victory? How many know Jesus gives you the victory? So we can celebrate in him. All right, I'm going to follow through a pattern. There'll be quite a number of them this morning, but I think it's instructive to us. Number one, truth declared. Say that with me, please. Truth declared. Now watch what the truth is that's declared and say it out loud with me. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. One more time. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, when you've given your life personally to Jesus, He is the one who lives inside. And does Jesus have victory over the devil? Come on, does Jesus have victory over the devil? And so if He lives inside of you, who else has victory over the devil? Let me see your raised hands. I do. We do. Because the devil is defeated. When was the devil defeated once and for all? On the cross of Calvary. It is what?
Finished.
It is finished. Once and for all. That means the devil can throw darts of condemnation, shame, hassle, accusation. He can try to condemn you because the Scripture tells us he runs around as a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like. It doesn't say he is. It says he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. How many in this room want to be devoured?
No.
Yes, sir. So, wait a minute. So he's a pretender. Is that what that's saying? He's a pretender. He's an accuser. He's looking for somebody to be able to overcome. And he acts real loud and real tough. And we need to stand up and say, wait a minute. My God is bigger than you are. Get out in Jesus' name. Victory. Watch it in the Message. I love this. The Message version. Keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. It doesn't mean temptation's not real. He's looking to pounce. Sometimes it seems tough. Life seems tough. There's difficulties. There's frustrations. There's hassles. But God's saying, be alert. Be on the lookout. Don't allow that accusation and that temptation to snare you. Because what can you declare? First thing in the morning when you get up, what should you declare? God is our refuge. If you pull that down, please, Pat. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in what? In trouble. If the devil can effectively snare you, then you are neutralized. If you're neutralized, then you're in neutral. Can your car make good progress moving forward when it's in neutral?
No.
It won't engage the gears. If the devil can throw shame and condemnation on you, you're not forgiven, you're not restored, you're not really who God says you are, then you're gears are in neutral. You can't move forward. You can't move back. You just feel like you're stuck. Bobo Brayton, I've talked about this many times. How many remember who Bobo Brayton was? The coach of the WSU baseball team. One of the most renowned college baseball coaches in college history. He was one of the most winning coaches that there ever was. And he said this. I remember being at a Chamber of Commerce luncheon and he said this. He said, I'm looking for the player that when he makes a mistake, because mistakes are going to happen. You all know that, right? Mistakes, sins, errors, things happen in life. He says, I'm looking for the player that when an error occurs, he doesn't look down, full of shame, etc. When that player does that, I pull him out of the game. He says, I'm looking for the player that when an error happens, a mistake occurs, he gets right back up and keeps playing the game. He says, that's who I'm looking for. And that is ripe with spiritual principles. When the Bible tells us that we can be forgiven when we confess our sins, we need to believe it, church. When the Bible says the devil has no place in us, we need to believe it, church. Look at what 1 John 1:9 says. Please read it with me. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all. Pastor Sherry, would you please stand and give us the motion, and I want you all to do it with her. This is from sign language. He cleanses us from all. And that's all about what?
Wiping the bowl completely clean.
Okay, so do the motion with me. All unrighteousness. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. All right, yeah, you don't want any leftover cookie dough when you're going to make a new batch, right? can tell what I'm thinking about. All right, so cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you, John said, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have a what? An advocate. Somebody who's arguing with the devil in the courtroom on our behalf. He says you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So you sin, you make an error, you make a mistake, you come to him and say, Lord Jesus, wash me clean by the blood of the Lamb. And he says, I forgive you. And so when the devil is standing before God saying, look at Cease, he's full of sin, he's full of error, then Jesus stands up and says, I've forgiven him. He's cleansed, he's covered. There ain't no sin here, this is a good man. He had a nicer hairstyle before I did that, I'm sure. So, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. He's arguing on our behalf. All right, what does the Bible say then further when that's taken care of? There is therefore now, say it with me please, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, if you turn right around and just keep right on sinning, guess what? You're going to have condemnation. But if you say, oh man, I don't want to go that way again. Lord, give me strength and I receive by faith your strength. The Bible says there's no condemnation. Watch it out of the message. With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that faithful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. You remember Linus? Wasn't it Linus and the Peanuts? Always had a black cloud over him. How many thank God your skies are clear? Your skies are clear, you're free, you're forgiven, you're washed clean. There's no more condemnation. But if the devil can neutralize you and me with shame and with condemnation, then we're not going to be able to help anybody else. We're not going to be a strength to anybody else. We're not going to be able to walk in the victory the Lord wants us to. So what does he do? He gets up and he declares, God is my refuge, a very present help in trouble. When you and I get up first thing in the morning, do you know what we need to say? God is my refuge and help, a very present help. He's my strength. He's my present help. God is here. And I thank God that I got a new day in him. Come on, can you say that with me? Thank God I've got a new day in him. God is my refuge. Come on. My strength. A present help in trouble. Refuge in the Hebrew means he's my shelter. Strength means he's my force, my security, my majesty. He's my praise. He's the one I get to praise because he's in charge. Very present help is a very interesting phrase in the Hebrew. And it is full of pregnant with meaning. And it means he is very vehement about the fact I'm here with you. It's full of vehemence. He is present. He is here. He's right here with us in the moment. And the temptation is to think God packed his bags and moved out overnight. You know? Wake up in the morning, maybe you had bad pizza the night before, you don't feel so good. Where'd God go? You're all looking at me like you never have been through anything like this in your life. Listen, church, we need to get up fresh every day and thank God for a new day and that he's right here with us. Declare it daily. His name is Emmanuel. God is with me. That's what the Bible says. So truth declared. Number two, trouble acknowledged. We're not having our heads in the sand. We're not pretending there's never a problem in life, but we declare his truth and we acknowledge trouble is real. Watch it in the scriptures. Therefore, we will not fear even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling. Selah. Stop and think about it for a minute. That's what that means. Stop and think about it. It's a pause in music, but it's also an emphasis to stop and consider. All right, trouble is real. We don't put our heads in the sand, but we refuse to give in to the fear. We acknowledge the reality. We're not stupid. We're not cold to our needs. We're not cold to other people's needs. We're not just pasting little Bible verses on our foreheads, walking around going, God is good all the time, and I never have a problem ever. Because that wouldn't be true, would it? God is good all the time. But sometimes we do have a problem. But God's in charge. Our refuge. Our strength. Literally, in this, embedded in the scripture is meanings like when there are earthquakes, there are volcanoes, when there's landslides like at Oso, when there's events that occur that are devastating, when things happen in life and tsunamis, it doesn't mean that God doesn't care, and it doesn't mean that God isn't there. But we don't have to live in fear every day of the economic disaster and the turmoil that's coming down the road and, because God is bigger than it all. Yes, someone say with me, God is bigger. When the waters roar, when the earthquakes come, when the volcanoes erupt, it doesn't change the fact that Jesus is still here with you.
Right
here. You can live in fear or turmoil every day, or you can do what the Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. We can acknowledge pain. We can acknowledge turmoil. We can acknowledge frustration. But we put our trust in Him. God is very present. Number 3, timing understood. Timing understood. Some simple parts of this psalm as you break it down. Timing understood. So we know that He's present. And well, the question is, okay, Lord, I know it. I'm confessing it. I don't feel you. I'd love to feel you near right now. How many would rather have goosebumps in the Lord than none?
Amen.
I'd like to feel you. But even when I don't feel that you're near, I know by faith that you're here. Even when I don't feel you're near, I know by faith that you're here. Let's see how the psalmist does it. 4. There's a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the when? You mean I had to go through this all night long? Just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, and the earth melted. One more time, God saying, who's the big one in charge? God is. There's a river of life, the Bible says. There's a river flowing in us and flowing through us. The Holy Spirit moves like a river in our lives, and we give Him room. There's life that's flowing in and through, and even when we don't feel it, we know by faith He's near. And God gathers us together. And how many know what happens when two or more gather together in the Lord? What does He say? He says, I'm where? I presence myself right in the midst of them. And look around the room. Come on, look around the room. Are there more than two people here? You might look at your friend and say, oh, I'm wondering if you're here. But nevertheless, we know who else is here then. When we've gathered together, when two or more are gathered in my name, He says, I'm there. I'm there. So the nations might rage, but God moves the kingdoms. The nations might utter or try to declare or shout or neutralize. But you know, all it takes is God to utter His voice. And everything around Him melts. Your big God is in charge. This it's just powerful. He says He's in the midst of His tabernacle. You go over to the book of Revelation and we find out that we're His residence. That phraseology in the Greek and then in the Hebrew is all about the Feast of Booths, one of the festivals of the Old Testament where the Lord moved upon His people. They went out and made booths, and it was all about God giving them shelter in the midst of their desert time wandering in the wilderness. God is with us even when we feel like we're in the wilderness. Do you know that nothing shakes God? Turn to each other and say, nothing shakes God. That Hebrew in all of this language means He's not going to waver. He's not going to slip. He's not going to be shaken. He's not going to fall. God is there to help her. And that help means surround, protect, and aid. And that early, it says, in the message, it says right there at the crack of dawn. What? Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. New American Standard. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Thank God we made it. It's a brand new day.
Yes, amen.
out of the Message. The nights of crying your eyes out give ways to days of laughter. Enemies may roar. Turmoil may come. Kingdoms may slip and fall. But when God raises His voice, nothing stands at all. God's in charge. Thank God, even though you may not have an answer yet, Jesus has an answer for you. And help is on the way. Say it with me. Help is on the way. One more time. Help is on the way. Turn to each other and say it again. Help is on the way. All right, now truth rehearsed. Let's rehearse truth. So we go through these things. So in light of what we've seen in the positioning of the psalm, position your heart, position your mind in the midst of the turmoil, and go over it again. God is with me. God is in charge. Say it with me. God is with me. God is in charge. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So we start off the day saying it. We believe it. And then turmoil happens, and we acknowledge trouble and turmoil, and we walk through it, we acknowledge it, we declare the truth, and then all of a sudden it's time for us to rehearse it again. How many know that when you're in the midst of trouble, the best time to rehearse the truth of God is right then?
Yes.
And sometimes we need to hear our own voice saying it, right? Yes. Declare it. The Lord is with me. The God of Jacob is my refuge. Say it out loud. So you hear yourself say it. All right? Triumph recognized. Triumph recognized. Verses 8 and 9. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Church, no matter how bad it gets, who's really in charge? Come on, say it out loud, really loud. Who's really in charge? God is. Who ultimately gives victory? Who ultimately gives the miracles? Who sends the devil fleeing? Who gives you strength and patience? Who defeated the devil totally? Come on, His name is Jesus. See what He's done. Confess the works from your own heart, your mouth, your mind. Jesus went to the cross for me. He died for me, so I don't have to do that sin. I don't have to go the way of temptation. I don't have to be neutralized. I don't have to go down into discouragement. I have victory because God's got victory.
Amen.
Recognize what He's done.
Yes.
I want you to take a moment, and I want you to turn to each other. I want you to pair up. If there's an odd person out in your row, go ahead and join yourself. If there's a group of two or three, I want you to take just a quick minute, and I want you to declare what God's done for you, even this morning, something. Even if it's the fact you're alive and you're in church this morning, I want you to declare it out of your own mouth. God's done something for me. Go ahead, real quick. 60 seconds. Give me 60 seconds. If you're already done, think of something else. Think of something else He's done for you. Keep sharing. You can do it. Daria and Carol, reach up and include Jeannie there. Oh, good. All right. Good, good, good. So what do you do? How many feel better just having declared something the Lord's done?
Yes.
Come on, faces, smile at me. Say, God's good.
All the time.
Say it southern. God's good. All the time. And all the time. God is good. What do you think? You think there's cowboy boots in heaven? God's good. He's the one who cuts the bow. He's the one who cuts the spear. He burns the chariot in the fire. The devil has no tools of victory that will defeat me because Jesus already has the victory. Someone say amen.
Amen.
We got to remember that. We've got to remember that. Don't look at the weakness you feel. Look at the victory he won. And what he's done. He's got the performance. He's got the portfolio. Devil comes along and says, what do you got? What's your answer? I got Jesus. Better than milk, isn't it? Got Jesus? Man can develop every method of killing and destroying and stealing and devising every plan to destroy. The devil's behind all of that, but God remains in control. Truth personalized. Truth personalized. So in light of all this, the psalmist recognizes there's something we need to do. So we're confessing these things. We're believing these things. We're declaring them. We understand. But in light of all of this, there's something we need to do. And it includes aligning our mouth, our mind, our heart with truth. The Bible says, thy word is truth. The Bible says, don't drop things. Don't. Talk among yourselves. I'll be gone for a while. Thy word is truth. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, the Bible says. So, in light of all of this, there's something we need to do. The Bible says it, therefore it's true. Used to be an old phrase, says, God says it, I agree with it. That settles it. You know what? You can take that middle equation out. It doesn't matter if I agree with it or not. Once God says it, it's true. Because sometimes we think, oh, I can't come up with the belief. Listen. I loved it when Pastor Carl used to always remind me, Kevin, it's not how big is your faith, it's how big is your God. And when we're in a time of turmoil and feeling very weak, that's when we need to stop and say, wait a minute, God is great. God is the one who's done all this. I didn't do it. God did it. But thank God, where does he live? He lives now by faith inside of me. So therefore, God's got the victory. See, the problem is, in Christianity, for too many decades and generations, we believe that we can't have victory in this life. We put it all in heaven someday. May I ask you a question, please? How much victory do you think you're going to need in heaven? Because who's not there? Yeah, right. So, where do we need victory?
Right here.
Right here. Right now. I know for some of you it may seem like I'm belaboring a point, but church, this has to do with how we live and where we live every day of our lives. And what you believe determines how you live. Are you forgiven?
Yes.
Come on, church. Are you forgiven?
Yes.
Are you set free?
Yes.
Are you washed clean by the blood of the Lamb?
Yes.
If you haven't yet been, you need to come and give your life to Jesus. And several of us in this room, we'd be honored to lead you to the Lord. Because when you have done that, you're free, forgiven, delivered, and you're cleansed by Jesus. Come on, someone shout it out. I'm clean by the blood of Jesus. So is your sin bigger than his ability to forgive?
No.
Aren't you glad? Turn to each other. Smile with your pearly white. Say, I'm glad. Don't look past what's in the teeth there this morning. No. Listen. Listen, I want you now to personalize it. There's one important thing that the psalmist says we need to do to activate all of this in our life. There's one important thing. It's true because he says it. But there's one main key here. If you want to have true victory in the midst of all of this storm, the earthquakes, the tsunamis of life, there's one main thing you got to do. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You can run around and talk about ISIS all day long. And we are aware of what's going on. You can talk about turmoil and trouble. You can talk about politics. There's a positive topic. You can talk about upcoming economic woes and disasters, and wisdom is appropriate. But that's not going to strengthen you. When the devil is yelling at you, you start confessing that God is going to be exalted, and God's going to be exalted where? In this earth. The Bible says, I am an earthen vessel.
Amen.
God will be exalted in this earth when I stand for Him, when I act like Him, when I think like Him, when I talk like Him, when I walk among my cul-de-sac, see my neighbors, bless them in the name of the Lord. They look at you and go, what's wrong with you? Jesus is wrong with me. Now, you don't have to act freaky. You don't have to act like I just did. Jesus is living inside of me. There's nothing wrong with me. It's everything great. You want to know Him? You're salt and light to communities. Because you believe Jesus is exactly who He says He is. And you know what happens? Now let's get really real. Come on. Y'all want to get real?
Yeah.
Turmoil happens. Tsunamis come spiritually in our soul, maybe even in life. And you know what we start doing? We start talking about what a yucky thing it is. What a, oh man, oh God. I don't know where God went. This is sure a pain in my backside. Come on, anybody ever talk like that? Some of you look like, hey, can't talk like that in church. Sometimes it seems like that. And the more room we give, the more trouble it seems we have. When God divinely says, will you please just shut up? When God says, will you please, for a moment, get a grip. Will you just be still? Quiet down. Realize you're letting your mind go into the wrong pastures. And your voice is too. The Bible says out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's on there somewhere. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what you believe inside your heart is what comes rolling out. Sometimes we get what we say. But aren't you glad that most of the time, by the grace of God, we don't? Lord, we want quail. God says, okay, you want quail? You ever read the story in the Old Testament? We're going to pile it high and deeper, and you can have it for a long time. They had quail so much, came right out of their nostrils, and they were sick of it. God says, why don't you instead trust me? Oh, that's a good idea. Hey, are you like me? You get down the road, bam, 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 and then you wake up and go, it would have been easier if I'd done it what God said to do. I can make this easy. I can make this hard. And sometimes I go, I think I'll choose the hard way. You know, A, B, you got A, B, and we say, I want C. And God says, no, A, B, oh, okay. And then God says, choose A. Go, A, B, I still want C. No, 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 choose A. And you go, okay, I want B. That's the wrong choice, pal. Got to go round the mountain again, don't you? God, take another lap. Yeah. Anybody in high school sports? You did something wrong on the team, and then what'd the coach say?
Take another lap.
Take a lap. I was in great shape in high school. Take another lap. I've slowed down now. Don't have to take as many. Oh, don't let me kid you. No. Be still. Look at what it means. Be still. In the Hebrew, literally means leave it alone. Let it go. Drop it. Listen, guys, I get stuck right there myself. Something grieves me deeply. Something burdens me. Something. My best friends can tell you. He has a tough time letting it go sometimes. Chill, Kev. Chill. I'm at peace now. What are you thinking about, Kev? I'm thinking about it again. I'm sorry. Let it go. Quiet down. And know. Know in the depths of your being, your heart, your mind, your soul, and know. Go ahead. Is there anything else to that? That He'll be exalted. He's going to be recognized. And when I stop long enough and let Him be in control, I'm recognizing Him. I'm raising Him up. I'm exalting. I'm acknowledging Him. Truth is, the devil can raise his voice all day long, but if you hide yourself in the shadow of his wings, Jesus is not going to let you go because he loves you. Say it with me. Jesus loves me. This I know. And sometimes the only way you know is because the Bible tells me so. Hold on. Be still. If you need to tell yourself to shut up, do it. And know. Get a grip. Because God is in control. Is this where we live, church? Is this true at all in your life?
Yeah.
10 people agreed. The rest of you are going, you got a rough life, don't you, Kev? Truth established. Point 7. So, we've rehearsed it. We've seen it. We've acknowledged it. We've declared it. We've believed it. Now, we've established it. We start our day with a confession of our mouth and our heart. God is in charge. God is bigger than the turmoil. Bigger than any mountain. Let's confess it again. Partway through, you go through the experience and you acknowledge the turmoil and you acknowledge what's going on. But the psalmist comes back and he starts with the confession. And then he confesses it again. And then we get through and God says, will you just get a grip and quiet down? And you see how big he is. And then it's established because you understand he's in control. Say it with me again. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. If you want to wage spiritual warfare and pray, see people delivered, what you believe determines how you live. And if we will get his word in bedrock in our soul, and we understand and confess what he says, and believe what he says, truly, we'll wage spiritual warfare from victory rather than trying to get to victory. Look at each other and say, hi, victorious one. Say it again. Hi, victorious one. Would you stand with me, please? Musicians, would you come? Let's go back to the key of D. He's bigger than any mountain. He's bigger than anything that comes against us. The name of this message this morning is A Psalm for Living. And this is indeed a psalm that teaches us how to live day by day in victory in the Lord. Slip up your hands, would you, Lord Jesus? We thank you that you are so good and you are so in charge. We thank you that you're bigger than the turmoils, you're bigger than the problems, you're bigger than the devil. And right now together, we reject the devil trying to neutralize us. We curse the lies. We curse the condemnation. We receive your forgiveness, your mercy, your life. And we know you are in charge and in control. Someone say, amen.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, for being so great and so good. And so much our God. Amen. He's bigger than all
my problems. Bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. He's bigger than all my questions. Bigger than anything.
God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Here we go from the beginning. He's bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. He's bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. We're going to sing the song again, and I recognize that sometimes trouble is maintained in our life. This doesn't automatically mean there's no trouble. That's not what I'm talking about. But it means the Lord sustains you in the midst of your trouble. In the midst of difficulties, God is bigger. And we need to acknowledge it, confess it, begin to believe it. Amen, church? Lord, we thank you that the truth is you are in control and you are in charge. We thank you, Lord, for being so good because you are God. We thank you, Lord, that you love us because you told us that. We thank you, Lord, that you don't abandon us because you told us that. We thank you, Lord, that your name is Emmanuel, God with us, no matter what we experience. And we thank you that you've defeated the devil at the cross of Calvary. Now, today, we choose to believe you. Amen. We go forward in faith. We go forward in belief. We go forward into a week understanding that we have the victory in the name of Jesus. And we proclaim your presence in our life is true. And your word is truth. And you are great. Now bless each one that's come here today. And as they go, let them go with a song of the Lord in their heart and the joy of the Lord in their spirits. Thank you, Lord, for being great and greatly to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, God is good. And all the time. If you're a guest with us this morning, we're thankful that you're here. Welcome back anytime. When you go out this morning, encourage each other in the Lord, because God is great. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Amen. Be released into a great day in the Lord. Amen.